You're doing incredible work in your classroom and community. Isn't it time the world heard about it? Welcome to The Commons, a dedicated podcast channel on the Forward Ed Network, built specifically for educational professionals like you. We provide the platform at no cost. You bring the ideas and the passion. We provide the reach to share them with the field. Ready to start your broadcast? Ready to share your knowledge with others? Email us at admin@forwardednetwork.com and join the conversation today.
Think back to the best conversation that you've ever had. Was it with someone who spent 40 minutes telling you exactly what they thought? Or was it with someone who listened so intently and asked just one or two right questions, and you ended up discovering the answer yourself? In our classrooms, we often feel the pressure to fill the silence. We feel like the value we provide is tied to the amount of information we broadcast. But what if the most powerful thing you could do for your students' learning isn't to speak more, but to speak significantly less? Today, we're exploring the art of the silent facilitator and why non-directive strategies aren't just a different way to teach. They are the key to unlocking deep, durable thinking. Welcome to your Morning Boost.
From the AWB Studios, this is your weekly Morning Boost, brought to you by AWB Education. We are proud to be featured on the Forward Ed Network, advancing voices, shaping education. Let's get ready to boost your week.
If you take a walk through a school building, any school, anywhere in the country, it's easy to get caught up in the logistics. You see the bell schedules, you see the lesson plans, the curriculum maps, the data walls, and we often talk about school as a place where information is distributed, kind of like a utility. We pour knowledge into one end and we hope proficiency comes out of the other. But when we step back and look at the why of school, we realize it isn't actually about the distribution of facts. Facts are everywhere now. They're in our pockets. They're on our wrists. And the true purpose of school is to be a gymnasium for the mind. It's a place where we learn how to grapple with complexity, how to sit with a problem that doesn't have an immediate answer, and how to build a logical path forward. If a school is meant to be a place where we grow thinkers, then we have to look closely at who's doing the thinking in our rooms. Last week, we talked about feedback as a physical exam, a diagnostic tool to build student agency. Today, we're going to take that a step further into the actual delivery of instruction. We are talking about the shift from traditional direct instruction to non-directive facilitation. Now, let's be clear at the top. Direct instruction has its place. If I'm teaching you how to use a table saw, I'm going to have to give you very direct instructions. But for deep conceptual understanding, the kind of learning that sticks and transfers to new problems, the research is increasingly clear. The person doing the talking is the person doing the learning. If we are the ones explaining the connections, we are the ones getting the cognitive workout. So today we're going to look at the silent facilitator model. We'll talk about the wait time research that still holds up decades later, the power of Socratic questioning, and how to create an environment where the students' voices are the primary engine in the room. We are moving from the sage on the stage to the architect of thinking. Let's dive in.
This segment of your Morning Boost is sponsored by Grundmeier Leader Services. Since 2013, GLS has been a trusted partner for school districts across the Midwest, specializing in executive recruitment and leadership support. They believe that great schools start with great leaders, and they are here to help you find a perfect fit for your district. Transform your school's future with the right leader at the helm. Visit GrundmeierLeaderSearch.com to learn more. Grundmeier Leader Services, transforming education one leader at a time.
Now let's talk about the performance trap. As educators, many of us were trained in a model that prioritizes the performance of the teacher. We were told that a good lesson has a strong hook, a clear explanation, and a high energy delivery. And we often equate our busyness with student learning. If we go home exhausted because we talked for 6 hours, we feel like we did our jobs. But there's a cognitive reality that we have to face here. When we stand at the front and deliver a seamless, perfectly polished explanation, we are actually making it too easy for the student's brain to coast. This is what researchers call passive reception. The student is a passenger. They may be nodding, they may be taking notes, but they aren't actually constructing the knowledge. Non-directive strategies flip this. Instead of providing the finished product of our thinking, we provide the raw materials and the conditions for them to build it. I want to share a concept from Lev Vygotsky, the zone of proximal development, or ZPD. We all know the term, but let's look at it through the lens of silence. The ZPD is that sweet spot between what a student can do alone and what they can't do even with help. To stay in that zone, a teacher has to be incredibly disciplined. If you jump in too early to save a student from struggle, you've just pulled them out of the ZPD. You've stopped the growth. The silent facilitator understands that productive struggle is where the magic happens. I recently observed a high school math teacher who practiced what she called the rule of three. When a student asked her a question, she wouldn't answer until they had tried three other resources. They could try their notes, a peer, and a specific anchor chart that she had provided. She didn't say it meanly. She said it with a smile. She was facilitating their independence. By being silent on the answer, she was being loud on the expectation that they were capable of finding it. And this is the first shift of the non-directive leader, moving from being a solver to being a scaffolder. So if we aren't talking as much, what are we doing? Well, non-directive teaching doesn't mean you're passive. It means you're intensely active in a different way. You are a thinking architect. To truly build this environment, we first have to master the mechanical art of wait time. Mary Budd Rowe's research from the 1970s still remains as one of the most powerful tools in an educator's kit. Most teachers wait less than 1 second after asking a question before calling on someone or answering it themselves. But the silent facilitator employs two types of pauses. First, there is wait time. That's the silence after you pose a question. Then, even more importantly, there's wait time too. That's the pause after a student finishes speaking. When you just wait 3 to 5 seconds after a student stops, they often continue their thought. They elaborate, they self-correct, and then they might even deepen their own logic. If you jump in the second they stop, you're essentially closing the door. By waiting, you're leaving that door wide open for them to explore. Once we've mastered this silence, we can then transition to the art of Socratic questioning, specifically the counter question. In a traditional model, the student asks a question, teacher gives an answer. But in a non-directive model, when a student asks, "Is this right?" the teacher mirrors the thinking back to them. You might ask, "Well, what makes you think it might be? Or if you follow this path, where do you think it would lead?" You are acting as a sounding board, not a megaphone. This shift ensures that the cognitive heavy lifting stays with the student, and it forces them to validate their own logic rather than relying on our permission. Finally, we have to move towards visual scaffolding to replace verbal instruction. The silent facilitator uses the environment to do the talking. Instead of repeating instructions 5 times, you might point to a process map on the wall. Instead of explaining a concept, you provide a worked example with a missing step and ask the students to identify it. Every time you let an anchor chart or a peer model do the work of an explanation, you are freeing up your vocal real estate to do the higher level work of observing and probing. This builds a culture of independent learning, where students stop looking at the North Star of the teacher and start looking at the map of their resources and the crew of their peers.
Have you listened to Control Shift Lead, the new podcast from AWB Education and Inspired Edification?
He stayed with the basics. Mm-hmm. He was never flashy. And I think that's one of the things that people liked.
If not, you are missing out.
And I think of the word vulnerable comes to mind.
All the time. Yep.
Every month, Jim and Adam bring you three things. Something you can control, something that will shift your thinking, and something that can help you lead your school district or building.
I need our staff to be that.
Search for Control Shift Lead wherever you get your podcasts and start listening today.
So how does this look in a real classroom? Let's look at the Socratic seminar or a thinking classroom model. Imagine a room where a teacher starts the period by posing one wicked problem, perhaps a historical dilemma or a complex logic puzzle, and then moves immediately to the perimeter of the room. Students are at vertical whiteboards, talking, arguing, erasing. The teacher is walking around with a clipboard, but they aren't teaching in the traditional sense. They're noticing. They might see a group has a misconception about a variable, but instead of stopping the whole class, they just walk over and say one thing. Something like, I noticed your result is different from group B's. How would you explain that difference? And then, and this is the key piece here, is you walk away. You don't stand there to watch the fix. Grant the group the agency to fix it themselves. This shift from performer to researcher is transformational. I recall a middle school science teacher who stopped lecturing entirely. She moved her content into short videos and using class time for this 100% non-directive facilitation. She had told me that her role changed at that moment from monitoring behavior to monitoring cognition. So to begin this transition tomorrow, you might start with a 10-2 rule. For every 10 minutes of direct instruction, you must provide 2 minutes of silent processing or peer talk. It's not a suggestion, but really it's a necessary boundary so that the brain can catch up to the information. Beyond the timing of your speech, you can also use some physical signals to reinforce this non-directive stance. Try adopting the hand-on-chin pose. When a student is struggling, physically putting your hand on your chin signals that you are thinking with them, not judging them. It's a subtle cue, and it reminds you to keep your mouth closed while letting the student know that you are fully present in their struggle. It changes the energy from waiting for the right answer to being engaged in the process. Finally, another powerful way to facilitate without speaking is to display student thinking in real time. Instead of showing your own perfect examples, take a photo of a student's in-progress work and project it for the room. Then ask the class to analyze the logic. Where could they go next? Or what do we see happening here? By letting the students facilitate the analysis, you are reinforcing the idea that they are the primary source of wisdom in the room. You aren't just the one who knows. You're the one who creates the conditions for everyone else to know. As we wrap up today, I want to pivot to the feeling of a non-directive classroom. I mean, there is a unique kind of hum in a room where the teacher is a silent facilitator. It's not the sound of compliance, which is usually silence or one person talking. Instead, it's the sound of intellectual friction. It's the sound of students disagreeing, checking resources, and eventually those aha moments. When we are the ones providing the aha, we get the dopamine hit. But when we facilitate the environment where the student finds the aha, they get the dopamine hit. And that hit is what builds a lifelong learner. Tomorrow, when you feel that urge to jump in, when that silence feels a little too heavy, or you see a student starting to go down a wrong path, I want you to try waiting just 3 seconds longer. Give them the gift of their own discovery. It's incredibly exciting to watch a student realize they don't need you to be their brain. They just need you to be their guide. You're building independent thinkers, boosters. You're building the leaders of tomorrow by letting them lead with their own learning today. Go out there, enjoy the silence. It's where the best thinking happens. Thanks for being part of the work. And thank you for spending your time with us today here on Your Morning Boost. We certainly appreciate everything that you do for your students and for your community. We will talk with you again next week.
That concludes another episode of Your Morning Boost, an AWB education production. To find more incredible content, be sure to check out other amazing education shows on the Forward Ed Network, where they are truly advancing voices and shaping education. Join us again next week. Until then, keep boosting your impact.